through 22. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, that's somebody that could write, that did the writing, particularly of the law. Amen. And he was a pretty important fellow in those days, particularly in the synagogues and those areas where they needed someone to write down the word. Amen. A certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But Jesus realized he didn't know quite altogether what he said. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Amen. And another of his disciples said to him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Amen. You think I'm hard sometimes. Amen. That'd been hard for us 20th century soft, mandy-pandy Christians to have taken the very idea, him not letting me, amen, go to my daddy's funeral. And let's read over here in St. Luke, praise God, maybe St. John later, amen. Another said to him, Lord, I will follow thee, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 6, said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You ever hear that song, I got my hand on the gospel plow, wouldn't take nothing from the journey now. Put your hand on that plow and hold on, hold on, hold on. Put your hand on that plow and hold on. Well, I'm going to preach tonight on drastic consecration. Because if I read the Bible right, and I've read you two accounts, amen, three different guys, Jesus demands drastic consecration. Amen. And if we don't rally to his demands, pardon the vernacular, but we ain't going nowhere. Amen. Drastic consecration. Amen. I mean, Jesus told this young man, he said, let me first go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury their dead. Amen. I preached Earl Scott's funeral just a few short years before. His son, Alan, along with Gary Morningstar, had participated in the murder of those two drug dealers on 2nd Street right down here in Hamilton, Ohio, and painted the floor black. Stuffed those bodies, amen, in the back of a car and drove it out in East Ohio and set it on fire and skipped town. They found them in a Holiday Inn in Nashville, Tennessee, amen, on a tip from one of their old buddies, you might say, amen. And Alan wound up in prison, amen, as far as I know, still there, amen. Alan Scott got to come home for his daddy's funeral. Amen. Earl Scott, age 67, 3051 Old Oxford Road, still got the obituary. Amen. I'll never forget. Alan got to come home in shackles. Instead of hugging his loved one's neck, he had to go over their head, these handcuffs, and hug them that way. Amen. But he got to come home with shackles on his hands and shackles on his feet. Amen. The state even let Alan Scott come to his daddy's funeral, but Jesus wouldn't let this boy go bury his father. Is that hard? It's not too hard when hell and heaven are at stake. Amen. It's not too hard when eternity is in the future staring you in the face. It's not too hard when there's so much at stake. It's not too hard when you might well lose it all. Amen. Pansying around about your consecration. Messing around about your obligation to God. Not being too concerned about whether you do or don't. Whether you pray or not. Whether you go to church or not. Whether you follow Jesus or not. Jesus demands drastic consecration. I preached Alan Scott's mother's funeral. May Scott's funeral also. Amen. They let Alan come home on a furlough under guard again. This time, they let him come without the shackles. He doesn't have to reach over their head. Amen. To hug his folks. He came home. Amen. To his mother May Scott's funeral. But Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. And you follow me. Amen. Is that too hard? Amen. Then heaven's too hard to get to. And hell's too easy to slide into. Jesus don't cut no slack. Amen. For slackers. Jesus don't allow any margin. Amen. For those that are a little bit soft on consecration. Amen. He said it, I didn't. He said, let the dead bury their dead. And you follow me. Amen. Some of you are awful quiet tonight. Amen. I'll tell you why some folks are quiet. They're both bored and backslid. I'll tell you something. If you're so bored about the house of God that you can't hardly stand to go and you can't hardly stand to stay through it, you're backslid and don't know it. You're so bored about the things of God, amen, you can't even stay for preaching, you're backslid and you don't know it. Amen. You don't like preaching no more. You don't like the service of God no more. You don't revel in the things of God no more. You need to hear Jesus say, let the dead bury their dead and you follow me. Amen. You have one obligation and that's to Christ. You no longer have any obligation to unsaved brothers, unsaved sisters, unsaved dads, unsaved mothers, unsaved children. Amen. Your first obligation is to God. And you'll not be worth 2 cents to save any of them if you're half backslid yourself. Amen. I believe in the family. I do too, the family of God. Amen. I'll tell you somebody that's closer than brothers and sisters. In the flesh. Amen. I tell you something. James and John had a chance. Amen. Yes, sir. They were the sons of Zebedee. You never hear anything about Zebedee. Tradition says that Zebedee chided them for running off and leaving their work and their business and running off this itinerant upstart evangelist. But you never hear anything more about Zebedee. But you hear plenty about James and John. Because they shook their world for God. Amen. The only thing you'll shake is the gates of hell if you don't consecrate your life to God. Get down to business serving God. First things first. There's been a many a missionary that couldn't go home to family funerals because they was on the battlefield for the Lord. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too till I heard a voice from heaven saying, there's work to do. I took my master's hand and joined that heavenly band and I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. Been a many a soldier couldn't come home, amen, because he's in the battle. On the battlefield for his country, amen. Mother died, loved ones died, amen. He was dodging bullets, jumping from foxhole to foxhole, amen. Many a soldier, sometimes they'll let soldiers, however, come home, amen. Uriah had more honor than a lot of mandy-pandy Pentecostals tonight. Amen. He wouldn't go home and sleep in his own bed as long as the armies of the Lord was in battle. Amen. We got all kinds of people around the highway of holiness. Amen. Can stay home and snore while revival's going on. They could care less. Amen. They don't even have a tinge of conscience. They've done it so long. Amen. They don't feel any sense of honor anymore. Any old thing can keep them out of church. Amen. Jesus is calling tonight. He's calling soldiers. He's not calling pansies. He's calling men. Follow me. Amen. Jesus is not saying, I want a great big crowd. He's saying, wanted a few good men. Amen. That'll leave all and follow me. Hallelujah. Peter said, we've left all and followed you. What shall we get? Amen. Jesus said, none of you have left houses, lands, fathers, mothers, wives, children, amen, for my name's sake, but what he shall receive a hundredfold more. Now, in this present time, houses, lands, fathers, mothers, children, amen. The only thing he didn't promise him a hundred of was wives. And that's because the Bible said, you're heirs together. Praise God. They're heirs together in the riches of the gospel. Heirs together in the future of truth. Heirs together in everlasting bliss. Heirs together, amen, in the reaping of the harvest. Now, in this present time. Amen. He promises a hundredfold to those that's got what it takes to leave all and follow Christ. Amen. I thought I had to have a little bit of the world and Jesus too when I got saved at the age of 14. Amen. By the time I was 15, amen, I was backslidden, wouldn't admit it. I was still going to church, teaching Sunday school once in a while, singing in the choir, going to revivals. Amen. But I didn't think about anything about playing on the ball team on Sunday and missing church. But the Lord drawed the line for L.L. Collins Jr. and said, you can go thus far and no farther. He said, follow me. And I almost stepped across that deadline. I had almost gone too far. I thought I had. I told the whole family, Spirit of God's departed from me. I've gone too far. You know what was the matter? I was a straddle of the fence. I didn't want to give up the world and go all out for Jesus. Amen. Because too much church was a bore. Amen. Especially when you're half backslid. But when I got on fire for God, I couldn't get enough church. I mean, I was spending it to every revival in the country. I was seeking the Holy Ghost every time they opened up the altar. They had at least one mourner on the mourner's bench, and that was me. I stayed sometimes till 1 o'clock in the morning. I kept everybody up late, seeking a closer walk with God. Amen. When I made up my mind to go all the way with Jesus, praise God. Friend of mine and his wife were about to split up because his wife was having an affair with the man she worked for in a store. Amen. I'll call her Clessie and call him Clem. Amen. So Billy won't have to cut it out. That's not the real name. Amen. But Clessie was having an affair with Carb, the owner of the store. Amen. And finally, at last, just before they split up, we fasted and prayed and sought God for me. Amen. And Clem got saved. And Clessie was glad, and they both prayed through. And Clessie said, what am I going to do about Carb? And Clem said, you're not going to do anything about Carb. Amen. In other words, she wasn't going to even get to say goodbye. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, there comes a time you got to make drastic consecration. Amen. Clessie couldn't even say goodbye to Carb. It was over. Amen. As far as Corb was concerned, she wouldn't be back to work. He didn't know it, but she wasn't coming, praise God. Amen. And folks, that's the kind of consecration you gotta have. You either gotta love Jesus all the way, or none at all. Amen. When this young man comes to Jesus, said, "Let me go bid them farewell that are home in my house." Jesus knew the dangers of a situation like that. In the first place, they should have been out there hearing Jesus too. They shouldn't have been home at the house. You ain't got any business being at home when church is going on. Amen. You're sinning laying around the house when church is going on. The Bible says so, and says if we not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of some is, amen, but rather exhorting one another, and much the more as you see the day approaching. For, that word for connects those two verses together. Amen. For if we sin willfully after that we have come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus don't cut any slack for unfaithfulness. Paul didn't cut any slack for unfaithfulness either. Amen. Up and down, in and out. Amen. I felt like putting an ad in the paper. Wanted 100 lost sheep. No questions asked. Amen. Amen. I haven't thought about offering a reward. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't even go back to say goodbye to those at home. Why? They'll pull at your heartstrings. They'll talk you out of it. Amen. They'll try to get you not to go. They'll say you're a fool. Amen. They say that's too drastic. But Jesus demands drastic consecration. And he said, why, the very idea. He that puts his hands to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Well, what did he say that in the context of, Mark? When that boy said, let me go back and bid farewell to them that are home in my house. Amen. When Elijah comes along and flaps Elisha on the back, plowing 12 yoke of oxen, amen, and says, follow me, amen. Praise God. Elisha said, let me go bid farewell to them near my house. He said, I didn't do nothing to you. He just kept walking. Amen. There is not even any follow me if you've got an obligation to them that are at the house. God don't need slackers. He don't need shirkers. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. You ever bite down on a broken tooth? Amen. I've had them. Man, I mean, I helped the dentist open the door up in Franklin, Ohio. Amen. I was there. I drove through the fog and I was standing at the door. I said, preacher, you got problems? Did I? Amen. I helped him open up the business that morning. Amen. To get rid of that broken tooth. That bad tooth. Praise God. Don't even go back to say goodbye to those at home. Amen. They shouldn't have been home in the first place. They should have been out there hearing Jesus too. They should have been out there listening to preachers too. They should have been out there listening to the greatest preacher to ever preach, telling the greatest story that ever told. And he knew if he went back to those people that didn't understand what he had heard and what he had felt and what he had seen, they'd talk him out of it. Amen. And you may have aspirations tonight to serve God. But I'll tell you tonight, you give a devil a half a chance, he'll talk you out of it. Amen. You give your kids a half a chance, they'll talk you out of it. You give mom and dad a half a chance, they'll talk you out of it. Amen. I had to leave them all behind. And time after time after time after time, I can't count the times, Richard, I walked past all of them to Summit to church. Amen. Amen. And I've never been sorry. that I gave my all to God. Amen. One night, in that one-room log cabin in the hills of Arkansas, get us a song. It wasn't even dark yet. I had a pair of bib overalls on, washing my feet, getting ready with a sort of a sponge bath to change clothes and go to church. Amen. Amen. My mom had stole the keys out of Dad's car, and he was getting ready to take one of them three-day trips. And everybody knew where he was going, including her. The fight started. My dad backed my mom back in the corner behind the old wood cook stove. Mama reached up and took a butcher knife off of the wall and hung on the wall behind the cook stove. And as she backed him back with that butcher knife, I jumped in between them and lifted my bare arms to heaven and cried out to God for a solid hour. The tears run down my face and dropped on my feet like water. I prayed and cried for peace in my home until my mom threw her arms around my neck and wept. And my dad hung his head and said, "Give the keys to Junior. Let him take the car to church." He knew I was getting ready to hitchhike to church. I put on my good clothes that night and drove Dad's pea green 41 Chevrolet car to church. And nobody knew when I drove up in the yard at Old Field Creek Church in Dad's car what I'd gone through that night to get to church. In those days, however, all I wanted to do was get to church, because there I found an escape from trouble. There I found a hiding place for my heartache and for my sorrow. Amen. And tonight I invite you to the cross. The ground's level there. I found peace there. I found the touch of God there for my broken heart. And you can too tonight. Amen. Is it too drastic a consecration for Jesus to demand all when He gave His all for you? Is it too drastic for Christ to demand your best when heaven gave its best for your salvation? You're going to judgment. You're going to judgment for your dilly-dallying around, for your lightness about the things of God, your insincerity about faithfulness. Amen. I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians going to do a lot of boo-hooing in judgment because they're going to have lots of sad regrets. You better pray through now while you can. It might be too late tomorrow when He says, "Son, how came thou in hither without the wedding garment on?" You know what was the matter with him? He hadn't made a drastic enough consecration. He didn't think the wedding garment was important. But we got to do it God's way. We got to come God's way. Or eventually and finally, we won't pass the test. We'll not overcome that big trial ahead. Amen. And eventually and finally, there'll be no welcome spread for you. There'll be no well done. Because it's this simple, folks. When Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," He ain't going to lie for any of us. If we haven't done well, He's not going to say, "Well done." Stand with me tonight and let's renew our consecration. Let's make it drastic. Let's determine in our hearts we're going all the way with God regardless of the price. Amen. This altar is open and it's for you. Lay your burden at His feet. That's what this altar's for tonight. Amen. Come on, while they sing.
I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Your perfect will. And if valleys are strong, to do
He hears and answers prayer. He hears, He knows, He cares.
I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, Lord, to do Your purpose.
Cry out to Jesus. Let the Lord take your heavy load.
And if valleys I must trust,
let Jesus kiss away every sin. Let Him, praise God, come into your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.